Chapter 16. In from the cold. Liz had been in a small dark room for many hours when she heard footsteps in the corridor outside. She had no idea whether it was day or night. The door opened and a man stood there without coming into the room. A small amount of blue light from the corridor came into the room so that she recognised him immediately.
"It's Mont," he said. "Come with me. Immediately."
Liz was terrified and stood in the middle of the room, not knowing what to do.
"Come on, hurry," he said.
He stepped into the room, took hold of her arm, and led her out into the corridor. She watched, confused, as he locked the door of the room. Then he made her run down a number of badly lit corridors. She noticed that he always checked that no one was coming as they turned into another corridor. Suddenly, he stopped, put a key in a door, and pushed her outside. She could feel the cold air of the winter evening on her face. He led her forward again, along a path towards a road. Parked by the side of the road was a car. Standing beside it was Alec Lemus.
"Wait here," said Munt, as he started to move towards Lemus.
She waited for a long while as the two men talked quietly to each other. Her body shook because of the cold and her fear. Finally, Munt returned.
"Come with me," he said,
and he led her to where Lemus stood. The two men looked at each other for a moment.
"Goodbye," said Munt. "You're a stupid man, Lemus."
And he turned and walked quickly away. She put out her hand and touched Lemus, but he pushed it away and opened the car door.
"Alec," she whispered, "why is he letting us go?"
"He's letting us go because we've done our job," said Lemus. "Don't think about it. Get in the car."
She got in and asked again,
"Why? They said you worked with Fiedler against him."
Lemus did not answer. He started the car and was soon driving along a narrow road. He looked at his watch.
"We're 5 hours away from Berlin," he said. "We need to be there by 1:45. There's enough time."
For a while, Liz said nothing. Then she said,
"You and Munt are enemies, aren't you?"
Lemus still did not reply. He was driving very fast now, with his tense hands holding the wheel tightly.
"What will happen to Fiedler?"
asked Liz suddenly, and this time Lemus answered.
"Munt will arrange for him to be shot," he said.
"So why aren't they going to shoot you?"
she asked quickly.
"Why has Munt let you go?"
"All right," shouted Lemus. "I'll tell you what you and I weren't supposed to know. Munt is a double agent. He is a spy for the British Secret Service. Fiedler worked out that he was a spy, and this is the end of an operation by control to save Munt. The circus has used us to kill Fiedler and keep Munt working for the British. No one will suspect that Munt is a double agent now."
After a moment, Lemus continued.
"Control lied to me. He said that we had to kill Munt because he was dangerous to the British Secret Service. He told me that we had to make the East Germans believe Munt was a double agent. Then they would kill him. I helped to make the plan. It was going to be my last job. I went downhill, Lost my job, got the job in the library, hit the grocer, went to prison, you know all that.
And you became my lover, said Liz.
That wasn't part of the plan, said Lemus. My job was to give evidence to Fiedler that Munt was a spy for the British so that the East Germans would arrest Munt. I didn't know that Munt knew everything, including information about you. He sent people to recruit me as a defector and take me to Holland, then Germany. He sent Fiedler to interrogate me. Fiedler believed me and sent his evidence to the Presidium. But Munt could prove I wasn't a real defector because he had the information about Smiley and the circus looking after you, which they gave to him. Control didn't tell me about that part of the plan.
But how could the circus know about me? Liz cried. They couldn't make us fall in love.
It didn't matter, replied Lemus. A man called Pitt at the Labour Exchange was working for the circus. He sent me to the library so I would meet you. The circus could make it look like we were lovers even if we weren't. And you were a member of the Communist Party, so it was easy to invite you to East Germany. But we made it very easy for them.
Yes, we did, she said. We helped them by becoming lovers, and it makes me feel awful. And I still don't understand why he is letting me go. When I get back, I could tell people about this.
Our escape will help, Munt, replied Lemus. It will show the Presidium that there are still double agents in the organisation because someone helped us. So they will need Munt's help to find them.
So more people can be killed, like Fiedler? Asked Liz.
Fiedler lost and Munt won, replied Lemus, shrugging. That's what happens.
But Fiedler is a good, honest man, cried Liz. You said that yourself.
And Munt is a horrible, violent man, said Lemus. But Fiedler is an enemy on the other side, and Munt is a friend on the British side. This is what the Secret Services are like, Liz. They do bad things so ordinary people like you can sleep safely in their beds.
It's horrible, Alec, shouted Liz. You're as bad as them.
It's the Cold War, and I hate it, Liz, he replied, sounding very tired. You've never seen men die like I have.
They were driving along city streets. Lemus was suddenly tense, and he slowed the car. Liz saw a small light moving in front of them.
That's him, Lemus said to himself quietly.
He stopped and opened one of the back doors, and a man got in. Liz did not turn round. She just stared at the rain that was now falling.
Drive at 30 kilometres an hour. I'll tell you the way, said the man.
Liz thought he sounded tense and frightened and very young.
When we reach the right place, you must get out and run straight to the wall, he said to Lemus. The searchlight will shine where you must climb. When the searchlight moves away, begin to climb. The girl must follow you. You'll have to sit on the top and pull the girl up. Do you understand?
We understand, replied Lemus. How long is it before we get there?
We will be there in about 9 minutes, said the man. They have only given you a short time. The searchlight will move away at 1:05. Then you have 90 seconds to escape. And don't turn back. If you fall or get hurt, keep going. They will shoot anyone they see on this side of the wall. You must get over it.
We know, said Lemus.
Lemus drove the car carefully through the dark, wet streets, turning right and left when the young man told him to do so.
"We are nearly there," said the young man. "Go slowly," he continued. "Now turn left. Turn left!"
They were in a very dark, narrow street. The young man told Lemus to stop the car and turn off the lights.
"Look,"
he said, pointing down a small street to their left. They could see a small part of the wall, huge and grey-brown in the yellow lights, with barbed wire on top of it.
"There is a small cut in the wire in the place where you must climb," he said to them.
All three of them got out of the car.
"Goodbye,"
said the young man. Liz looked at his face and knew that he was very frightened.
"Goodbye," she said.
As they were walking along the street, they heard the car drive away. They stopped in the darkness on a small piece of ground not far from the wall.
2 minutes to go," said Lemus, looking at his watch. Liz said nothing.
As they watched the searchlight move along the wall and stop in front of them, Lemus looked at his watch again.
"Are you ready?"
he asked. Liz nodded. Lemus took hold of her arm, and they began to walk across the small piece of ground. Liz wanted to run, but he held her arm tightly because he could not really believe that Munt was letting her go. He did not understand it. They were almost there when the searchlight moved away and they were in darkness. Lemus continued walking until he could feel the rough concrete blocks of the wall with his hand. Looking up, he could just see that there was a small gap in the wire on the top. There were pieces of metal in the wall that he could use as steps. Putting his foot on the first one, he started to climb. When he was on the last one, he reached up to pull himself onto the top.
"Come on," he whispered. "Start climbing."
He lay down and took hold of her hand as she came to the last metal step. Slowly, he started to pull her up. Suddenly, enormous lights came on all round them. Lemus was shocked, and it seemed as if he was blind. He still held Liz's hand, but her feet had come off the metal steps, so she was hanging in the air. He called her name and started again to pull her up. Then there was the sound of sirens and shouting. Lemus knelt on the rough concrete and got hold of both of her arms, pulling her to him. Then they shot her. Lemus felt the shots as they hit her, three or four of them, and her thin arms fell from his hands. He heard a voice shout in English from the other side of the wall.
"Jump, Alec. Jump, man."
Now there was more shouting. There were English voices and German voices. Lemus heard Smiley's voice quite close to him.
"The girl. Where's the girl?"
Lemus put his hand above his eyes to keep the bright lights away and looked down. He saw Liz lying on the ground. For a moment, he did nothing. And then he began to climb back down the same metal steps. He stood beside her. She was dead. Nothing happened for a moment, and then they shot him. As he fell next to Liz, Lemus knew that he had finally come in from the cold. Penguin Readers, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, John le Carré, Level 6. Adapted by Fiona McKenzie. Illustrated by Kevin Hopgood. Series Editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Roger May. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2019.